is that there are 56 courts that when trial court security funding was moved from the branch's budget and it was funded through realignment sales tax, 56 courts funds were taken out. Two courts that have marshals, Shasta and Trinity, their funding remained because it was not a function that was being conducted by the sheriff, and therefore funding that could go to the county. The current trial court security account gets a share of growth in the sales tax revenue. And so while we all understand that that pot of money is for some courts sufficient, in many courts it is not, there is growth that comes to that to at least address some level of cost increases. And so as we've had this debate here and this discussion about security, that is a topic, you know, of concern to us, but we feel that it's more appropriately dealt with by the sheriffs with the administration rather than us pursuing a BCP. But what that means is that the funding that is currently in the Trinity and Shasta budgets for their marshals has no adjustment. So in essence, they're staying flat, whereas at least the remaining 56 courts, their counties, are getting some growth. And so we had this conversation a few months ago with the CEOs from Trinity and Shasta, and I'll admit my fault was remiss. We did not prepare the materials, but we didn't want to miss this opportunity to have this discussion, and hopefully if there is consensus and agreement that we could have some sort of action. But essentially is to provide to those two courts the same level of growth that the security account has received starting in 14-15, so that they aren't eroded. There, you know, while we understand that the overall state funding for security is not sufficient, that pot has increased marginally, and we believe that it seems like an appropriate discussion to be had and consideration for those two courts to have their amount be provided, unfortunately, from the trial court trust fund, because we don't have any ability to access the realignment funds, but at least to provide them some commensurate increase that the rest of the 56 courts are getting from the counties, rather, are getting from the security sub-account growth. So Patrick can describe what the growth has been and the amounts that for 14-15 that would we could consider to provide them the same sort of equity.
Can everyone hear me? Yeah. Okay. For 14-15 in the governor's budget, the amount that's being projected for revenue growth, so the growth factor, is 4.8%. So that comes out to about $24 million, which is substantially more than it's been in the past. It's been running at about a little over 2%. Now, of course, in the May revise, they'll have another projection. And, you know, the projections, we know how projections are with revenues. It doesn't necessarily mean that that's what's going to happen at the end of the year. Last year, what they had projected actually came in a little bit higher than what they had projected. But 5%, I mean, this growth factor at 5% is going to be, has been the highest projected. So for a court like Shasta, and for courts like Shasta and Trinity, not getting that, you know, growth factor for their security is, you know, really, it's not the same way it was historically, where we did prior to AB 109, the Criminal Realignment Act. All courts were able to submit security surveys to request additional funding. And so the additional funding now for all 56 courts is coming through this growth factor, whereas Trinity and Shasta do not have any process to request additional funding. So if they were incorporated with the other 56 courts in terms of also experiencing that growth factor increase, that would definitely benefit the courts.
Patrick, how much money are we talking about?
Well, we are talking about for 14-15, we're estimated at about $144,000 for both courts.
But what about, I assume they haven't gotten any growth factor since realignment began back
they
in 11-12.
Not.
So what would the amounts be to reimburse them for those years?
For the total, about $310,000, because the growth factor has
been
less.
That would be the cumulative... there was 2%. It was, right, I think, the range from 1.3% to 2.2%. If you added each year's growth,
correct,
it's
11-12, right, to 14.
And again, what does the 144 represent?
2014-15.
Okay, the 5%?
Right.
Okay.
And that's the 5% based on adding the growth.
So that would be 144 is part of the 310?
Excuse me?
Is the 144 part of the 310?
Yes.
Okay.
I have a question for their future needs. Do we know whether there are sheriff's departments in each of those counties and why there hasn't been a move to incorporate the marshal's office into their sheriff's office?
I'm from Trinity. Johnson might be able to speak to that.
On behalf of Trinity County, we do have a sheriff, and we're actually, in part because of this type of problem, we're actually looking at abolishing our marshal's office. It's a question to us whether it's cost-effective to have the duplication of services and whether or not we can help each other more effectively just through one department. But as you can imagine, in a small county, we don't always have cooperation. We have turf wars and...
Yeah, I know how that is.
...vested interests, and so it's somewhat of an arduous task. But that's definitely something we're looking at. I don't know what Shasta's situation is.
I have Mary Beth.
So how... Zlatko or Patrick, how is this different than the portion of our security allocations that a lot of courts have in their local trial court budgets if their perimeter security is either provided by court employees or private contractors? We're not seeing growth in that. Unlike the sheriffs, I mean, the marshals do have, I mean, the courts have some control over their marshal salaries, et cetera, where we don't with our sheriffs, but... And now it's the sheriff's problem. I mean, I'm sympathetic, but I'm concerned that we have a similar issue in courts who still have a security budget for those services that were not being provided by their sheriff. And I'm trying to understand how we would distinguish this other than it's 100%. So.
No, that's a fair question. But we do know that what you used to have is getting some growth. So maybe the question is... Is it is the growth applied to the, you know, you asked 100% of their budget or some lesser amount? I don't know, but I mean, we're just wanting to bring the issue. If you want us to do further examination of it and work with the courts to determine what might be a reasonable comparable increase.
It'd be interesting to know the overall value of the local court security. Well,
I assume Patrick knows services. What the budgets are for each of those
courts.
Yeah.
For each security? I think it's about...
Off the top of your head, you
off
know
off the top
all
of
them.
My head. I think it's about $40 million in total.
Oh, no. The security components for each of the two courts.
Oh. The security component for each of the two courts, it's the security base is what you're asking. It's about $2.4 for Shasta and $450,000.
No, well, what I was asking is that there's an element in each...
Right.
...in other trial courts, and I was wondering what the overall... that's why I was laughing. You know that off the top of your head. Wow. What is that amount statewide for the piece that stays in trial court's budgets?
And we have that when we did the split. There is,
is that the $40 million
information
about
that we know? Million.
Yeah, about $40 million.
Which is the what was remaining in trial court budgets for security outside of sheriff provided security?
I have Mike Roddy, and then Chris Volkers and Judge Clay.
Maybe a bit of a different tact. That probably won't work, but I'll put it out there anyway. It seems to me that the administration ought to step up for those two counties the same way they've stepped up for the sheriffs, for the provision of what we have historically called law enforcement security services. And the sheriff's made a big point that we're talking about deputies, you know, in the courts and prisoner transportation and other things. Well, arguably that got taken away from 56 of us and the other two counties remain. I think that we ought to figure out how to recognize it, but not out of the trust fund. Those two counties ought to be eligible for the same increases for the same types of services that the counties are providing, except in these cases they're coming through the courts. And I'll call it an oversight because it really only applies to two counties, a minuscule amount in the law enforcement field, but they ought to be treated the same because they're essentially doing the same things as the sheriffs. I mean, I don't think the courts want to give up their marshals because many of us would like to go back to the marshals. But that maybe that's the approach, because I do think the increases are important. Historically speaking, we know that law enforcement security or law enforcement costs are going to go up faster than general costs. And this is an additional component to their budget that none of the rest of us are dealing with. I understand Mary Beth's position about, you know, perimeter screening and so forth, but what we're talking about is above and beyond perimeter screening and those things that we do have remaining in our budget. So there are opportunities, LACO. I guess the short answer is to get these two counties the same consideration, the same access to the increases that the other 56 sheriffs get for essentially the same services.
What you're saying is, would we submit a budget change proposal for the to have costs?
Well, the administration's recognized that, and specifically for law enforcement security costs, when they took that out as part of realignment, mm-hmm. that they were going to provide some additional funding. But they left those two counties behind for whatever reason. But they're doing the same thing. I mean, on one level, if you just gave them to the sheriffs, then I guess they'd automatically become eligible for the increases. But why can't we extend that to those two marshal services?
Not out of the trust fund. The methodology is ask for a general fund augmentation and a methodology in statute that provides the same level of growth.
But it ought to come out of that growth fund and not out of the trust fund, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, general fund.
Chris?
I had two questions. Mike just made one of my points, so I'll leave that about where is the money coming from, the $300,000. But I'm back to what Mary Beth said. She's got a very good point about the $40 million or whatever it is that some courts kept. Having been in two large courts recently, one of them has a sheriff doing perimeter security, and therefore they've gotten the increases with the sales tax revenue increase. But in San Bernardino, we've got almost $2 million that we spend towards perimeter screening that has not been increased accordingly. So there is this bigger disparity that we need to figure out at some point. I don't know how, but it's a good point.
Judge Clay?
I guess my question is, what is growth fund, what does that really mean overall? What does that really mean? Yeah, and so it says a little bit more, but how does that coincide that just because you get a little bit more, that you should be able to either increase your services? If you have services now, does that mean that because I get a little bit more, I'm going to readjust? Maybe I get to hire another sheriff, another marshal? And why would we have an immediate need to make that contribution, although it should be fair? But if they have the ability to service their courts with what they have now, with the dollars available, why do we give them more dollars to add additional services when we can't afford it because we don't have the money in the trust fund itself, with outside the legislature taking separate action to mm-hmm. do what they're doing with this fund?
Because I defer to Judge Johnson to respond on his behalf.
The first thing that pops into my mind is we don't have the money to do what we're doing right now. We're limping along with one marshal and three part-timers, and if we have more than one trial going at one time, we're in a world of hurt. And this money would make a big difference for us, and it's money that is being spread through, from our point of view, it's money that's being spread through the other 56 counties, and it's just a legislative slip-up that it isn't being also afforded to us. That's my answer.
I'm not saying you don't need it, but, I mean, I don't know. I mean, why do we do this now? I mean, what's the legislature has made a statement, this is what we're going to do. We should be augmenting their security budget in the fashion to add these two, not taking from the trial court trust fund.
One second. I had Kimberly, and then David, and then Mary Beth.
Lotko, you'll remember, I'd be remiss if I don't make this on record. Butte is in its own category, mm-hmm. not the same with Trinity and Shasta, that we don't have marshals, but the administration made a mistake. So we still receive $467,000 in security funding that we immediately transfer over to the sheriff. My undersheriff is constantly reminding me of this and telling me about the COLA they receive on only a portion of the security funding in our county, but why aren't we providing them with an increase on that $467,000? I've indicated all along, well, that's your conversation with the legislature, not with our court. But again, if we're going to make an exception here for the part that wasn't funded. I see both sides. I see Chris and Mary Beth's point with regard to security funding that the courts retained. But if I recall, that was not restricted. So you could use that money for trial court operations.
It was unrestricted. Correct. By the council about a year ago.
So that
could, right, to help offset reductions, they could,
right,
redirect.
So that could also kind of cause question on whether or not you should also apply that same COLA to the money the trial courts get if they're not continuing to spend that for security purposes.
David.
Thank you. So the provision of security at all of our courthouses is vital for us to function. We've set up a mechanism previously to ensure that courts that don't, that are not part of the allocation from the sales tax receipts to get an increase for those courts to continue to be funded. We cannot leave anybody behind. I get the fact that, you know, the trial court trust fund has limitations, and we need to find solutions out of the general fund, but that doesn't set aside the fact that these courts are at risk of possibly shutting down courtrooms because they don't have sufficient funding that has been resolved to address some of the increases they're receiving year to year. So if there's a motion, or if a motion has been put forth to address the issue of these two courts requiring incremental increases out of the general fund, out of the trial court trust fund, I would support it with the notion that we have to look for a long-term solution that looks at the state's general fund to correct the deficiency that we have.
Before I turn to Mary Beth, let me just, there isn't currently a motion before us. It sounds to me like the options are to move forward on a motion that addresses the needs of Trinity and Shasta, or to defer that until we can consider all the other issues that exist that Mary Beth and Kimberly have pointed out and deal with them all at once. That's just my observation. Mary Beth?
One more question, and this might hinge which direction we go here. I don't know how the marshals are treated in Trinity and Shasta for purposes of the overall court budget. But if they are considered employees and they're on your Schedule 7A, and when we do get benefit increases and we get, if we're successful in getting any kind of an NSI this year, or COLA, whatever you want to call it, would they be included in that? Or are they somehow totally excluded from any growth in the trial court trust fund as well? So if we're getting any kind of growth in this next year based on employee costs, are those counted as employees, or are they counted outside of that?
They're counted as employees.
So it would
they're
be,
on the schedule,
they'd be,
they're on the Schedule 7.
They're getting increases then
if
in that regard.
Right, when we, if there's increases.
Because the sheriff's offices don't get anything. They just get this piece.
Right.
I think that's an important distinction to make.
There's no adjustment.
I think that's a very critical point. And when you balance that point up, and that point being that if there are increases for the employees, the marshals are included in that process. When you balance that point with the fact that a lot of us are losing deputies because of the critical issue that we face with the sheriff's department throughout the state, I just don't think we're at a point where we can make a motion and move forward right now without analyzing the bigger picture.
Judge Walsh.
Thank you. Well, if I'm understanding Waffham correctly, back to the one point made, to the extent new money comes in for courts and it's distributed under Waffham, that doesn't help the security folks into courts. They're not part of the FTEs covered by Waffham. So I still think they get left behind. I agree with David Yamasaki. We shouldn't leave anybody behind. My concern is, though, it shouldn't just be the two courts, because I hear Butte also has an issue, and then I hear there's $40 million worth of other courts, including Sutter and Yolo, who have perimeter security, so that one part of the trial courts is getting their security is getting the 4.8%, and another part isn't. And to the extent they need to keep up. We're now talking real money. Now we're over $2 million. And isn't, going back to Roddy's point of view, isn't that worth an adjustment or a BCP And isn't that the way to do it? And do we have time to pursue that? And then if we get slam dunked, come and revisit this in time to make sure those courts are somehow compensated.
Kurt Soderlund and then Sherry.
So I do know that there are conversations that have taken place over in the Capitol, and it's you know kind of what we faced before is this issue of whose ball is it in terms of is it the CSAC and the counties or is it the Sheriff's Department? So I know at the highest level of the Department of Finance there are conversations that are taking place on this. If I could make a recommendation, perhaps the committee direct Zlotko and I to you know flush those concerns out more with the Department of Finance and then report back you know via email or however we want to communicate or conference call in terms of you know what was the initial reactions that we've gotten from the Department of Finance. Again, and my concern that if we did something in the short term with the trial court trust fund, then if I'm the Department of Finance, I'm going to say, well, you did using the TCTF, so keep doing it. So at least to have that opportunity to have the conversation with them and see where we go.
Sherry?
Could we propose cleanup language that would take care of this problem as well as the problem that Kimberly's facing? There may be others out there, but it seems like that if there's miscellaneous counties that are having unique needs, that we should perhaps propose some kind of cleanup to them. Because this is realignment, we should try to clean that language up.
Judge Johnson and then Judge Clay.
I'd just like to clarify one thing. The marshals in Trinity County, and I believe this is true for Shasta as well, are court employees, but the security budget is backed out of the general court budget for purposes of calculating what our growth and allocation is out of the trust fund.
So, sir, or Zlotko, when we get benefits money, is it based on the WAFM type allocation, or is it usually a per employer? Whatever we put forward is our cost per employee. The surveys you send out for like the benefits and those sorts of things.
From the Schedule 7A, it's the employee. It's the employee.
And I'm not suggesting it's a wash. I am not. I'm with you know. I'd like to make the motion that we study this, that we talk with Department of Finance, look at what the options are. But I think if it's not looking like there's going to be a state-level resolution through the general fund and somehow it is going to be on us, then I think what we need is just come back with some numbers and some analysis of overall what they have gotten as employees of the court versus what they would have gotten so we can take a look at it and what it would cost to treat courts who have some security component in their budget the same way. And then that gives us something to work from and get a real sense of the issue.
So let me ask, are you all comfortable with that we'll defer this for the time being while some discussions can be had with the Department of Finance, and if those discussions, if there's no fruit borne of those discussions, then we'll focus on all of the issues that have been raised here today, maybe tapping on some of you to help focus on that. Is that agreeable, Rebecca? Did you have
Yeah, I was actually going to second that motion.
Is that a motion?
Yes, it was.
All right. And we have a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion is approved. Thank you, Patrick.